Thank the Lord this morning for salvation and the reality of things that we sang about this morning. I'd like for you to turn with me to Romans 6, verse 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. When we first start out in the believing in Jesus in the Christian life, the Bible refers to it as a walk. It refers to it as a journey, and that's what I'm going to speak to you about this morning. But when we first start out, we are like a new creation or a new baby in the family, and we begin a walk. And life for us at that point, as we begin trusting in Jesus, is new. It's different. He said you've taken the old things away. 2 Corinthians, 5:17, where he says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. I remember that as a little child thinking, everything's going to be new now. I'm a new person. I'm all clean. And you know, as we go along, that's not, expectation should stay with us, but we begin to realize that we've got to maintain our trust in Christ, and for things to stay new to us, then we have some endeavor to put forth to it. So I'd like to talk about our walk with the Lord this morning. And my brain works a little better if I've organized it a little bit in some notes. So as I refer to those, I hope you aren't distracted, because it does help me. So it says, walk in newness of life. And going from there, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 6, he says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So remain in the Lord. Walk in him. As was mentioned in the prayer request, everything that you do, do it by the grace of God. Reckon that you and I can't do anything good and obey God and remain righteous and holy as he has made us without doing it in him. Walk ye in him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 1, he says, furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you've received of us how you ought to walk and please God, so you would abound more and more. So that's God's expectation of us, is that not only we begin the journey, but begin to walk in him and abound more and more. He said, I've showed you how you ought to walk. And don't just stay with what you have received at the first, but multiply, make a profit, begin to do business with the knowledge that you have and the understanding. In other words, advance in it. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Seek constantly, Lord, how can I abound in my Christian life? Person who is growing and abounding, they're not going to die. They're not just going to fall away, but it's a person who slips back and who begins, instead of abounding, they begin to stay still and stay where they are. That person is going to die spiritually. He said he wants us to abound and please God as we walk more and more. And then he says, and I'd like to go to Ephesians now. Well, I'd like to go to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to go right there quick. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. It says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. If we're going to really walk in Jesus and abound more and more, we need to keep our faith and our trust in him. Look to him daily. Depend on him. Realize that we can't always see the road ahead. Someone says, said one time, when we cannot trace his hand, we can always trust his heart, because we know that he's gone before us and he's taken care of us, even as we have not yet passed that way, but the Lord has. And we walk by faith. We can't always see it, but we can trust in him. We're going to need to do that as we go along. And then 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. This lets us know that as he has gone before us, he's going to shine a light in our way. He's going to reveal to us what to do next. And we take one step at a time, and we want to take it in that light. 1 John 1 and 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It talks a little bit in chapter 2 about walking in darkness. He said in verse 11, he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness, because he doesn't and knows not whither he goes, because that darkness has blinded his eyes. We want to walk in the light. When a person turns aside from the light that's been shown on their pathway, and let's how do we understand that? When God gives me instruction and he helps me to know what to do and where to walk, that's light. When he's enlightened my understanding about how he wants me to talk and how he doesn't want me to talk and where he wants me to go and where he doesn't want me to go. But I do contrary to that, then I begin to walk in darkness. And Jesus said, when the light that's in you becomes darkness, how great is that darkness? A person who has had light shine on their pathway and they don't walk in it, but they begin to turn around and walk in darkness, that darkness is worse at that point than it was before he ever got saved. That's a sad thing, but haven't you seen it in people's lives? People who knew what to do with their lives, people who knew God's commandments, and then they turn away from it. It's like their life gets so much worse after that. That's the nature of the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. That's way that those are the laws of spiritual laws that he has set up. We want to walk in his light, and that means to walk in truth. That's the third book of John in verse 4. John said, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. And in other places we have in the scripture where it talks about walking in truth. In Psalms chapter 26, let's look at that for a little bit. Verse 1 of Psalm 26, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. We want to walk in the Lord's truth. We want to study it and to apply it. Applied truth is wisdom that the Lord gives us. He also says here, I have walked in integrity. In verse 11 it says, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. When we walk in truth and honesty and sincerity, those are the words that come to my mind when it says to walk honestly. I think that's in Romans 13, is it, where it says, walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness. Romans 13 and 13. Let us walk honestly. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. Walking honestly means walking with an open heart to God's light that he shines on our way. With an humble heart, expressing and recognizing our needs as they are revealed to us, and confessing them, and being willing to obey, not just hear it, but to do it. Obey what we hear from God. He talks about, in Galatians 5, he talks about walking in the Spirit. In Galatians 5 and 16, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." And down in verse 24 or 25, "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So walking in the Spirit means that we respond to the Holy Spirit when He talks to us and He deals with us. We walk and we take this word, "let us also walk in the Spirit." It really means let us take step by step in the Spirit, or as the Spirit, or by the Spirit, by His help. The Spirit is given to us to help our weaknesses. Romans chapter 8, it also speaks about walking after the Spirit, or having an inclination to and leaning toward the things of the Spirit instead of the things of the flesh. Responding to the Spirit, having an awareness and a sensitivity to the Spirit's leadings, to be soft and pliable before God, that, "Lord, I just want to, I don't want you," as the, one of the verses was today, "don't be like the horse that has to have a bit and a bridle." But how do we respond to, God said at that same place, "I'll guide you with my eye." It's speaking about a heart that constantly looks at the Lord and says, "Lord, just how you look at me is going to affect what I do here. I just want to be close to you, and just the little hints and touches of your Holy Spirit." I remember reading about a woman who had been a Muslim, and she began to follow Jesus. And she said that when she would speak rudely to her associates or her servants — she was a very wealthy woman and she had servants — she began to feel a warmth in her heart when she prayed and responded to the Lord Jesus. But whenever she spoke rudely to her servants, that warmth would go away and she would feel coldness as she had before. And so she began to associate that impression that she got when she did something wrong with knowing that that wasn't what God wanted her to do, and she began to follow that. That's what walking in the Spirit is. That means, it goes on to say here, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." When she responded in that way and walked after the Spirit, she felt that warmth again. And we will also have that no condemnation when we respond to the Spirit. And he says in verse 4, "The righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then he goes on in verse 5, and he kind of changes terms a little bit. Instead of walking, he says minding. Mind, when you mind something, you pay attention to it, don't you? You take care of it. You observe it. You pay close attention to something that you're minding, and you follow it. When you mind something, you just have a desire to see what it does and to go where it goes. And it says, they that are after the flesh, they mind the things of the flesh. I want to encourage us this morning that we continually rein in the things that we know are just of the flesh. There is a tendency in the world today to go after something completely. And just, I was thinking about I kind of look at it with interest and with intrigue, but it's not something that I want to do. But I look at people who get into gaming, and I look at them and I watch how they do. And it's something that you really get into, this electronic gaming. People get into it and it's like they do that all the time. That's what they're about. That's what's in their mind all the time. It consumes them, and they cannot be satisfied with regular, normal life, but their life becomes one of gaming, and they live with that mindset, and that's what they talk about, that's what they think about. But I'm thinking if we put ourselves into living for the Lord like that. You know, that's, if you did that, if it was on your mind, if you constantly was thinking as you work and as you drive and as you were just constantly thinking, Lord, I just want to serve you. And Lord, thank you for what you've given me here. And Lord, it's just beautiful today. And just you have your heart and your mind on the things of the Lord. That's the difference. That's what I'm trying to express here. To be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Just thinking about people that are consumed with one thing or another out in the world. I notice this, that there's a restlessness about them and there's no peace. But when you have your mind set on the things of the Lord, there's a serenity and a tranquility that comes over your entire body and soul. And there's just a rest when your mind is, when you have your mind on the Lord. Well, Isaiah 26:3 says that, doesn't it? It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's walking after the Spirit. And we want to walk and take step by step in the Spirit. God said to Abraham, he said, Abraham, walk before me and be perfect. Be thou perfect. I think that the awareness, constant awareness, and that thought about guide me with your eye, that's the best way to do that. If you want to walk a perfect walk before the Lord, is to walk before him. For him to be our judge at all times. Lord, like David said, Lord, examine me. Prove me. Lord, talk to me about my motives. Talk to me about what I'm doing here. What motivates, what is my purpose and intention by this word or this motive? Because many times the flesh, when the flesh begins to rule, the flesh would have motives of wanting to manipulate people by what I say or do, wanting to get my way in there and still be nice, you know, but wanting to have just a little bit of recognition or power or control. That all comes into our daily walk. Lord, I want to walk in a way that is honest and that is in the Spirit, after the Spirit. Promises to those who walk uprightly. Remember what he said in Psalms 84:11. No good thing will he withhold from them who walk uprightly. To walk uprightly, what does that mean? It means to walk in truth. It means to be honest. It means to hold your head up so that you can be clear and be live a life of integrity before man and before God. Remember the story that I've told before about my grandfather who took a debt that wasn't his because the banker in town did something shady. And he left the debt with my grandfather, and he was the rest of his life paying that debt. He sold all the things that he had. He had had a fire that consumed his entire house, all his belongings, and it was a rented house, and that's where the debt came from, was that the banker left that with him. And so my grandfather lived the rest of his life working hard, and he paid back that debt. But he met the man several years later. He had been in California and he came back to Clovis, New Mexico. He was walking down the street and he met the banker. And the banker tipped his hat and said, how are you, Mr. Forbes? And my grandfather said, well, I'm living so that I can look every man in the eye. And he looked him in the eye. And the banker dropped his head and went on without speaking any further. Grandpa Forbes was living an upright life, and he could hold his head uprightly, but the other man knew that he was really in disgrace because of what he had done. I think another thing that we can look at here, Ephesians chapter 5 has several verses. Ephesians 5 and verse 2, it says, "Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love." That's, if I could take one thing from this, I think it would be, "Lord, let me walk in love." Another place in Romans, he talks about our responsibility to our brother. And he said, if you destroy people with the things that you do, you're not walking charitably. So we want to walk charitably and we want to walk in love. We want to walk with love for all men. And I read a verse that I don't remember reading again. And let me see if I can find it. I think it's 1 Thessalonians 3 and 12. Yes. "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." Lord, help me to walk in love, to walk abounding in love toward one another. That means to the members of God's church, my brothers and sisters in the body of Christ, and toward all men. He said, "The Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men." That's a good purpose, isn't it? That's a good prayer. Lord, help me to increase and abound in love. And then it says in verse 13, "To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God." So Lord, if I'm wanting more holiness in my life, then I need to seek to walk in love. That would help me so much, wouldn't it? Walk in love. As Christ, and here's the standard of our love, "Christ, as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God." So walking in love involves self-sacrifice and self-denial on our part. And you know, if you have two people walking together in love, a husband and a wife, and you're walking in love toward your wife and walking in love toward your husband, and you're both sacrificing for the other one, what kind of home are you going to have? You're going to have a peaceful home. You're going to have a home that's full of joy because you're walking in love as Christ loves us. Another place in Ephesians 5 is verse 15. "See then that you walk circumspectly." What does circumspectly mean? Someone want to give me an idea? "Circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil." See that you walk circumspectly. Well, I have written down here my definition that I got somewhere, but I read some others, and I really can't remember some of the other details. I have precisely. Walk precisely. Know what you're doing and be deliberate. And you know, that's very helpful in our walk with the Lord. If we live deliberately, live intentionally. Be intentional with your love, with your faithfulness to duty and to God. Live intentionally. Precisely, exactly, very accurately, carefully. And another definition that I have here, walk circumspectly, look in every direction. So walk watching and praying and looking out for what's there. Don't walk as fools, he says, but as wise. Talking about walking in wisdom, we have several other places. There's one in Colossians chapter 4. And verse 5 echoes this thought in Ephesians 5. "Walk in wisdom toward them that are without." Walking in wisdom and walking circumspectly. Walking carefully and precisely. Walking in love. Walking in truth and in the light. Those are all concepts of being very intentional, being very careful to obey what the Lord has given to us, being mindful of others, he says here, walk in wisdom toward those who are without. What does that mean? People who are without are people that are not saved. They are watching our walk very closely. Our children watch how we walk, even more than how we talk. They watch what we do. They watch our attitudes. They watch how we breathe, and they watch how we roll our eyes. And they watch all of those things, and they catch those things. Children catch attitudes and opinions and desires and intents. They do. They catch it from their parents. You ever realize that your child didn't like a certain person? And you begin to watch this thing, and you begin to realize that, oh my, I've got an attitude toward that person. And I've not even said anything to my child, but my child doesn't like that person either. And we begin to realize, oh my, I need to consider what I say and how I act toward others, because I have somebody following me. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Another place in Proverbs 28 talks about walking wisely. 28 and 26. Proverbs. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely shall be delivered. Another place about walking wisely is Proverbs 13 and verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Associations. I begin to be concerned about someone when I observe their associations. When I see that a devout Christian is spending a lot of time and hanging out with people who don't have that as their goal in their mind, I get concerned. Do you? Because our associations really rub off on us. Children, you can be aware that you can be friends to people, but when you begin to see that you start wanting to be like them, and you know that they don't love the Lord, and maybe their parents have not taught them, and you think, well, I'm going to help them. I'm going to teach them. It usually goes the other way around. You can be friendly, but to be close companions with someone that's not wise, it'll bother you too. Well, I thank the Lord that He's given us such a wonderful path, laid out such a good plan for us for walking the Christian life. Another thing that I have noticed, and I go back a little bit to something that I read in Psalms 26 when he talked about, I walk in truth and in integrity. Let me get to that, but first I want to get one in Hebrews 12. He said in verse 13 of Hebrews 12, he said, make straight paths for your feet. This word straight, it means even, and it means level. It means balanced. We want to walk in an even, in a balanced way. And that's where in Psalms 26, he said, my foot standeth in an even place. We want to walk with balance in our lives, and that's, to me, one of the greatest challenges that I've had as a Christian, is to keep balanced. Because it seems like that we tend to lean one way or another. Sometimes we tend at times to, well, and we're affected by the world around us and by pressures of society and even the congregation, people that we're close with, personalities are strong sometimes, and we get affected by a strong personality that's around us. And we tend to begin drifting that way and leaning that way. And what happens when a when a vehicle gets out of balance. I know what happens when a washer gets out of balance. It makes a lot of noise. And it'll jump around. When we get out of balance, it's not good for any of us. And that's where I've had a challenge in my life, is to stay in a balance. That's a whole message in itself. But Satan will try to push you and bring you into bondage and make you so precise where in your own strength you're trying to... Well, I remember a friend one time, she told me, she said, I've been trying to draw closer to the Lord. And she said, I pulled my hair back just as tight as I could, in the tightest bun that I could. And I got a little alarmed and I thought, no, wait a minute. That's not how you get more holy. But she had, somehow Satan had pushed her into that thought. Another friend that we had one time, he said, I've been trying to pray. And he said, I've been beating my head against the wall. Literally, I'm saying the boy was actually beating his head against the wall. That's a terrible imbalance. God may ask us many sometimes to lay aside our food and afflict our flesh in a way to show the Lord that we're earnestly seeking him. But as beating your head against the wall, that's out of balance. And there are other ways that... I remember meeting a man one time and he didn't have one of his eyes. He did not have an eye in one of his sockets. The eyeball was gone. And he told us, he said, the Bible says if your eye offends you, if it makes you sin, to take it out. And he said, I took it out. Now that's way out of balance. Sometimes I even just doubt that he told us the truth. But that's what he said. I mean, it made an impression on me as a young teenager. Whoa, that's far out. That's really far out there. But in our lives, to stay in an even place, to walk balanced, is a great challenge. And the Lord help us. Now, there are extremes one way or another. But a Christian life that glorifies the Lord is one that's in balance, is one where a person is neither too strict. I'll just say it the way that I understand it. Someone that's not so strict that they can't smile, they can't have pleasant conversation. You know, it's good to pray every day, but the enemy would have a person who feels like they need to pray every day, praying all the time, bound up where they can't get out and do their work, take care of their family, mow their yard, wash their car, or whatever. And then there's another extreme, is where someone's bound up with the affairs of this life and they never pray. They never seek the Lord. They never afflict their flesh and fast to hear the mind of the Lord and to come into a place of humility before God. They love the world. They go after the things of the world. That's an awful imbalance too. But the Lord would have us. There's a scripture that says, Paul said, as using this world, but not abusing it, or overusing it is what that word says. We live in this world. Jesus said, I pray that you would not take them out of the world, but you would keep them from the evil. There's a balance right there. There's a lot of verses in the scriptures that reveal that the life of a child of God is one that's in an even and a level place. It's not veering off one side or the other. And God has said in Isaiah 30 and 21, he said, I will send you, you will hear a voice behind you saying, verse 21, and thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. I'm so thankful he has promised to give us that guidance. And I've had the Lord to do that before. I remember one time a man, and I think I brought this out here a while back, a man came up to Dan and I, and we were just a young couple, and he said, I want you to come and have a revival meeting at our place. And I said, well, we're going to have to pray for it, about it. And he said, you don't have to pray about it. I've already prayed about it. You just need to come. And the yellow flag went up there. And we did pray about it. And the Lord let me know that's not how I work. That's not me leading. And he did not lead us to go there. And we found out later the man was someone who was overbearing and imbalanced. And it probably would have been a bad thing for us to have gone there. But I remember the Lord gave me a song that says, where he leads me, I safely can go. I'm thankful that he can tell us, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. In Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, very familiar scripture to most of us, and it says, what does the Lord require of thee? And one of the things that it said here was to walk humbly. Micah 6 and 8, walk humbly with thy God. We've been talking about walking in wisdom, walking honestly, walking in love. But this is an important one. Walk humbly. Another place he talks about the opposite of that. And in Daniel, Nebuchadnezzar said, those who walk in pride, God is able to abase. He is able to abase us if we walk in pride. We really don't want that to happen. Well, with Nebuchadnezzar, in his case, what happened to him? He went out for 7 years and lived like a cow out in the barnyard, eating the grass, had fur and feathers grow on him and claws. That's abasing now. When God abased him, he really abased him. And that's what he said. He said, those that walk in pride, God is able to abase. But we want to walk humbly with God. Actually, we have a song that is written from this phrase, and it says, humble thyself to walk with God, which is really what this says. Humble yourself to walk with your God. We want to walk humbly with him. He's meek and lowly in heart. We learn from him. We'll learn to walk humbly with him. There was a verse that I read that made me think, and it was in Leviticus chapter 26. It's something God said to his people. Leviticus 26. He said in verse 21. In verse 21. If you walk contrary unto me, verse 23, if you walk contrary unto me, verse 24, then will I also walk contrary unto you. I don't want to walk that way, do you? Contrary to the Lord, with my way set against him, because I don't want to understand and know and experience what it means for him to walk contrary to me. That's something that we don't want to see the end of. We don't want to experience that for the Lord to walk contrary. And if you want to read this in Leviticus 26, what he said would happen to them. It's just so sad to see what happens when people begin to walk contrary to the Lord. I've seen it myself. I've seen people do this. I've seen people just, it seemed like, set themselves against God. And 20 years later, to observe their life, their children, their grandchildren, their marriage, everything about them, you can tell God's walking contrary to that person. And many times people like that blame all of their troubles on something else, but the truth is that they walked contrary to the Lord. And the Lord began to walk contrary to them. And all of those things began to come into their lives. It is a really sad situation. The book of Acts has a little scripture that I found. And I'll just end with this. but it described the early church, chapter 9. I thought this was a great description of a church. It described the church then, and I hope that the Lord can, if a historian was to write about us, I hope he would write this. In verse 31 of chapter 9, it says, "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." Let it be said of us, those people walk in the fear of God. Those people walk with the comfort of the Holy Spirit in their lives. That's what I want to have. I trust you do too. Amen. Pray for me.